Text of the sermon this morning is from especially a passage we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Let us read the text once more. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all know that God wants to be very careful with His name. This morning from the law we heard again that He forbids taking His name in vain. His name is holy. What God's word impresses upon us well is that God's house is holy too. And therefore, God forbids that we take His house in vain. We need to show all diligence and respect, attention, and serving Him. And our text then from Ecclesiastes calls for such a holy attitude in the house of God. Congregation, the book, our text is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, derives its name from the Greek translation of the Bible. And Ecclesiastes means assembly. The Hebrew name, however, means preacher. If you have a short introduction in your Bible, you will see that the Hebrew name is Kohelet, and that means preacher. And that's why some translations, for example, the Dutch translation, the book is called The Preacher. Since this name comes from the original Hebrew, preacher is therefore more accurate. And in this, the sermon of this morning, you will hear that time and again I refer to this book as the preacher. And this Bible book gives us then practical lessons of faith. Yes, the preacher applies and summarizes God's word and will. And its message is loud and clear. And all the empty things and vain things of this world, fear God. Fear Him in revering, listening, and serving Him in His house. And so this morning I may serve you with God's word as follows. The preacher teaches to guard your steps. Indeed, be prudent when you go to God's house. Do so with a diligent attitude. And He instructs us to have then reverence in God's house, attention to the Word of God, and in the third place, sincerity in the service of God. Beloved congregation, the preacher is not a man of just the study room. The preacher has his eyes open for the reality around him, the life in which he lives. And his take then on everything is all is empty, meaningless, vanity, senseless. Life is like running fast to grab the wind, and yet your hands remain empty. And that is a preacher's experience when he examines life around him. Man's life, his work, his knowledge, even his possessions and riches, it's all so empty. Everything seems so senseless, meaningless. Now, in the middle of his searching, he also comes upon the house of God. And then, surprise, all of a sudden, his tune changes. The moment God's house comes in view, he moves on different grounds, even on holy ground. On that terrain, in the house of God, life is not meaningless. And that's the reason why the preacher's previous refrain abruptly changes. He does not say, entering the house of God is senseless and meaningless. Life in God's house is vanity. No, not at all. The preacher turns the statement, all is vanity, into a serious warning. This warning, do not profane the house of God with vanities. And he warns, watch out now what you say and do. In God's house, there you do not encounter vanity. Be prudent, beware. There you step on holy ground. Now, beloved, the preacher gave his warning in a time of complacency among God's people. At a time Israel allowed itself more elbow room in serving the Lord. The people's standard for life became what they themselves thought expedient and pleasant. At a time God's people were not on a high spiritual level. Oh, true, the house of God was still part of their lives, but it was not the one and all place for them anymore. They casually entered the holy place, not out of holiness, but out of habit, still full of the things of this world. They entered the house with their heads still spinning with their business deals and plans. They entered the house of God with the hangovers of enjoying life till midnight and later. They entered God's house being dominated with their misgivings and grudges, their opinions and criticisms. They entered full of man's vanities. They lived a man-centered life. And our congregation, a man-centered life brings the vanity of the world in the house of God. And that's precisely what the preacher is strongly warning against. People of the Lord, oh, fully realize when you enter the house of God, then you are in the holy presence of God Almighty, of your God. And therefore be prudent. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. That is, yes, prepare yourself well. Take hold of the life with God. Dress yourself, so to speak, in the holy garb of prophet, priest, and king. Confess that it is not your way on which you go, but it is the Lord's way. So, don't take the dust of the world with you in the house of God. Wipe your feet. That's what in Exodus 3 at the burning bush, Moses had to do, remember? He even had to put off his shoes in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. The same happened actually at Mount Sinai. Then the Israelites had to watch their steps when they approached the mountain, coming into God's holy presence. Furthermore, the book of Leviticus, one could call that the book of holiness. That Bible book Leviticus meticulously meticulously describes how God's people had to prepare themselves to be prudent to come in God's presence. Then they could not be polluted by the things of this world. On the contrary, they must have deep respect and reverence for their holy God. They needed to be fully conscious of who their God is. A good and glorious God, full of love, mercy, and compassion. He is a God who cannot be compared with anyone or anything, for He is holy. Now, for the people of the previous days in the Old Testament, for those people, God's house was the temple with all its glories and all its beauty. God's place and throne was symbolized by the Ark of God. And access to God was obtained by the priestly office and service. In the New Testament, Christ's church has taken the temple's place. The New Testament letters of Ephesians and Hebrews make crystal clear that now Christ's congregation is God's dwelling place in the Spirit. Because of His presence, God's holiness has even become closer to us. God's holiness closer to us than it was the case in the Old Testament, in the days of the preacher. And that's why the instruction of our text comes to us with the more force to us, Christ followers and people. That instruction comes with this effect and force. Beloved, take, young and old, take extreme care when you go to church. For would the Old Testament, that's what we read in Hebrews 10, would the Old Testament people of God endanger themselves when they would spurn the holiness of God? Much more would those who spurn God's grace in Christ. When Hebrews speaks about the church of the Lord, we hear the warning. It is terrible when in church you defile the blood of Christ and insult the Holy Spirit. And based on God's actions in the Old Testament, the author of Hebrews affirms then, we know Him. Who? Well, the Holy God. We know Him. Who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge His people. Listen well. Not just the Lord will judge the world. The Lord will judge His people. You and me. And then he says it is a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Therefore, he comes with the encouragement, don't throw away your confidence. Continue to show, that is also meant here, continue to show diligence to enter the most holy place. Oh, agreed, agreed. That encouragement in Hebrews has a broader scope than just entering the worship services on Sunday. And yet, beloved, it is telling that Hebrews 10 connects his instructions to the Sunday meetings, meetings of the church. And so indeed, the Old Testament teaching of the preacher, be prudent, guard your steps when you go to the house of God, it finds its New Testament complement in Hebrews 10. And so for our lives today, salvation, for your very life salvation. But don't despise God's grace and mercy. So if your whole attitude show deep respect and reverence for all that happens in the Sunday worship services, in a meeting of the Holy God with His holy people. We also receive that teaching actually in the fourth commandment. In that commandment, God says much more than just, please on Sunday turn up in the worship services, in the church services. That commandment, the fourth commandment, is not about that we go to church, but how we go to church, how we come. Take note that the fourth commandment also uses that word holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In older versions of our Halber Catechism, then we read and we confess that especially on the day of rest, I diligently, you could even say, I prudently attend the church of God. So we must come to church carefully, conscientiously, indeed, guarding our steps. Since we know that in church, here, everything speaks of the Holy God. O congregation, in our time and age, we are still very much in need of this instruction and encouragement from God's Word. In our postmodern life around us, man takes center stage. Churches don't only get empty of people, they also get more and more empty of reverence and respect. Churches are in danger of becoming men pleasers. Let us be greatly thankful that here, the Holy God and His church of this place, He fills all our emptiness with His blessings. We must show our thankfulness with a reverent attitude, but also with an attentive one. That brings us to our second point. And in this part, we look at the preacher's second instruction, give diligent attention to God's word. The preacher clearly says, enter with care, yes, and go near, that is, be ready. Be ready to hear, be ready to listen. It's striking that a preacher inserts that instruction regarding listening. Many commentators and explainers of the Bible have a difficulty here. For they say, well, in the temple, in the Old Testament house of God, people didn't go there to get instructions. In the temple, no instruction was given. The people came there to bring the sacrifices. Yet I ask, where then did the Old Testament people get their knowledge from? Where did they receive instruction in God's holy word and will? Sure, the parents had an important task in this instruction. Read Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78. But so had the office bearers, especially the Levites. As we read in Nehemiah 8 and 2, Chronicles 17. Furthermore, in the Old Testament, often we read of holy assemblies and convocations, especially in connection with the great feasts. We also know that the book of the law was kept in the temple. Of course, it was kept there for a reason. Instruction. Last but not least, all the ceremonies and sacrifices in the temple were in themselves clear instruction, preaching of the holiness and greatness of our God. All that what I've mentioned comes with that call, and it came to the people of the Old Testament with the call, people of the Lord, fear God, keep His commandments, have your holy God as a center of your life, obey Him, indeed listen to Him. Now, congregation, the identity of the writer of Ecclesiastes is still unknown. It's uncertain. Bible scholars still debate and dispute who that writer of the book of Ecclesiastes well might have been. Well, it could well be that the author was one of the Levites, beloved. And he could well be the preacher of the palace, a king preacher. Even the main preacher and teacher in the holy city and temple. In our text then, he instructs God's people. And he makes very clear, man doesn't take pride of place in God's house. There his attitude must be submissive. He must be attentive to his gracious and merciful God. The road to a meaningful life is revealed in scriptures. That's what he makes clear. And the call to go on that road comes from Almighty God himself. As said in the Old Testament, that call was issued in the temple, Jerusalem. In the New Testament, God issues that call in his house, the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, everywhere now in the world where he gathers it. By his Holy Spirit. It should then be clearly in the mind of the people why they go to church, to God's house. Why are we here, beloved? Children, young people, why are we here in church, the house of God? The reason is not to satisfy God by giving him some of our time. Neither should one go to God's house just to have a good time with him and with one another? Visiting the house of God cannot be compared with visiting the house of one's best friend. Or by visiting a house of eating, what we call in a restaurant, of course. A house where yourself can pick and choose your menu. What one in the house of God should eat is God's word. One should fully absorb, soak up what God has to say. Yeah, beloved, that needs an attitude by which you have abandoned all your own concerns, your wishes. Get rid of all your own opinions. One has to be fully open to what God says and obey his call and his word. Scripture makes this abundantly clear. I give just a few examples. In the book of Samuel, we meet Eli and his sons. They heard God's word. However, they lacked a diligent attention. They didn't let the word just soak their lives. They heard the word but didn't listen. And so they were not pleasing to God. And with Samuel, also the children, the young people know all that. With Samuel, that was totally different. His attitude was attentive. He listened and obeyed God. He said, "Speak, Lord, your servant listens." The Old Testament prophet Isaiah gives the same instruction in his chapter 8. He says, "Fear God, attentively listen to him." In verse 11, we read, "And the Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me. warning me to follow the way of the people. And then the prophet had to issue the call to the law and to the testimony. Give diligent attention to that. For there is absolutely no life without it. In the New Testament, we have another event that we can relate to our text in regard to giving diligent attention to the gospel. I refer to Luke 10. There we meet two sisters, Martha and Mary, friends of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the chief preacher and teacher, was talking and speaking. Both heard him. You know, only one was listening. Martha kept herself busy with her own concerns, and Martha spoke her own opinion. But Mary sat at the feet of the Lord, attentively listening, soaking up his words. And the Lord's clear instruction was, and still is, listening is salvation, beloved. Listening is all that you need in the house of God. For there is no salvation outside. Here, in the house of God, the Lord gives us the clear instruction. Choose the one thing necessary. Have an attentive ear to God's word. And obey. Walk with Christ on the way of salvation. Here, in Christ's congregation, also of this particular place, find life, find salvation, young people, find meaning. Yet know that this house has a high threshold, that is a threshold of God's holiness. Be prepared to let all your own things go. Obediently submit yourself to God's word and gospel of love and grace. Oh, beloved, keep the church clean, that is holy. So do not bring here your worldly attitudes and habits. Put that off. Be here in a humble attitude of listening, and you will not be dissatisfied, but filled, that is, satisfied with God's goodness and grace. For in the house of God, life isn't empty, but full. So don't be foolish, but be sincere in the service of the Lord, our last consideration. There's a third aspect of the preacher's instruction in our text. First of all, have or show a prudent way serving the Lord. Don't just easily step over the threshold of God's house. Enter with deep reverence. Be fully attentive to his word and will, the second thing. Then, the third, it is also important, fully know what you are doing and especially what you are saying. Don't act foolish, but be prompt and sincere in the service of the Lord. In other words, beloved, show true spirituality. The preacher is emphasizing this in the last part of our text and also ongoing verses. Do not give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. With them, the fools, doing wrong has become a habit. And the next verse is then, show such a foolish and sincere life. The verses then following our text, they don't belong to our immediate focus this morning. But yet, since they have a strong link with our text, we cannot just totally ignore them. And so I briefly referred to them with a paraphrase I found by a Bible scholar, warning against the foolish, insincere life, the preacher says then, and I give out a paraphrase, don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think he wants to hear. God is in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. Overwork makes for restless sleep. Overtalk shows you up as a fool. When you tell God you will do something, do it. Do it now. God takes no pleasure in foolish gabble. Vow it and then do it. Far better not to vow in the first place than to vow and not pay up. Don't let your mouth make a total sinner of you. When called to account, you won't get by with, well, sorry, I didn't mean it. Why risk provoking God? Why risk provoking God to angry retaliation? But against all illusion and fantasy and empty talk, against all men's vanity and emptiness, there's always that rock foundation, instruction of God's word. Fear God, beloved. To fear God. That's precisely, congregation, why we are here, why we go to church, with prudency, in sincerity, serving our holy God, stand in awe of him. Now the preacher, and as I like to think, most probably a Levite teacher serving the temple, this preacher saw people go and enter the house of God. He saw and knew how they lived their lives. And he saw that they brought their sacrifices. He saw that they were content with performing just their duties before the Lord. And the preacher regarded them as fools. Now, in the wisdom language of God's word, that word fools points to people who have not a right understanding of the service of God. Because of that, they don't have the right insight in their own lives either. To speak with the language of our catechism, Lord's Day 38, you know it. They, fools, they do not rest from their evil works. They continue to live empty lives. They didn't and don't really surrender themselves to God. Beloved, heartfelt love and sincere fear of the Lord was lacking in serving God and their neighbor with those who entered the temple. And if that happens, things in church become cold and empty. Congregation, this is precisely bringing the world into church. Living out your own wishes and dreams while bringing your sacrifices and offers to God. You know, that's what Saul, King Saul, did. Serving himself by serving God. And what did God say to Saul? 1 Samuel 13 and 15. He said that obedience is better than sacrifice. And what an empty life Saul had. It was a destructive life, a life of fools. Congregation, God will be pleased with a prompt and sincere service. The dust of the world should not be on our feet here in church. The over-talk of fools should not be in our mouths while we enter God's house, worshiping him, bringing our spiritual offers. insincerity is the corruption of the house of God. We clearly learn that also from Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira thought to get away by bringing the sacrifice of fools in the congregation of Christ. And you know the outcome. God destroyed the work of their hands. He blew them away as with the wind into vanity. So, congregation, how important it is that we always well prepare for going to church, that we do that with prudence, that we do so in the week, on Sundays, that we do so at home, that we do so in the consistory room and in the pew before the service. Yes, walking, standing, and sitting in awe of our holy God, constantly meditating about and praying for His grace and the Holy Spirit. So filled with His holiness, then we are filled with the meaning for our lives, for we have peace. This morning we have learned, congregation, from God's Word in Ecclesiastes, that for the sake of our life's salvation, we need to be prudent. We need to guard our steps when we go to church with a diligent attitude, with all reference, attention, and sincerity. We go to the house of God. Please don't bring here the emptiness of the world. Come here to let yourself be filled with God's grace, mercy, and truth. Come here to cherish God's holiness. Being then in great awe for His holiness. Just guard your steps. When you go to church, also again this afternoon, and again next Sunday, and beloved, be well prepared with prudence. Guard your step to enter the church that will come down from heaven at the day of the Lord. So know what you are doing for our Lord is holy. Amen.